This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pole. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
119 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 19 seconds away from the first Saturday in May and that Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs, Saturday, May 7th. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you once again here on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End, and we are with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios on this ninth day of January 2016. A very special welcome to everybody joining us throughout HRN Nation on Sirius XM Channel 93. All of you streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and, of course, listening on terrestrial affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and around the country. JT, good morning.
Good morning. Who day?
We day. Enough said. Come on, don't you remember 10 years ago when you and I made the venture northward to Cincinnati for the first round of the playoffs?
I do remember it, and it began my hate affair with the Steelers as they maimed our quarterback on the opening play.
Hey, guys get hurt in this sport all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it just happens.
Carson Palmer got hurt, and that eliminated the Bengals and made me a lifelong Steeler hater.
Well, you didn't need any help in that department, though. You were already well on your way.
I was well on my way, but that sealed the deal right there.
And then, of course, the last game a few weeks ago, Andy Dalton ends up getting hurt, breaking his thumb, so he's not going to play today.
Right.
A.J. McCarron going to take over the controls.
Well, he's been doing a fine job.
He's been fine. Yeah, nothing wrong with A.J. McCarron. Different level today, though.
Well, I don't know, different level.
I wish you were making the trip
with
me.
Same level.
I still have the coffee mug. We took a picture of the four of us, you and your wife, Gretchen, and Michelle and I, and the four of us together, we had a coffee mug printed up that you did for us. It was beautiful. I still have the coffee mug. You do as well. Mm-hmm. That was 10 years ago. I wish you were making the trip up there with us tonight, though.
Well, I'm a little wiser now.
You're going to stick
rain.
Me with Bongo Bob and Puffy.
My bar is like two steps away from the sofa, so I just felt like it was the wise thing to do. Stay home and watch it on TV. Get the full coverage. Now, Elliot Walden had called and said, hey, do you want to come and sit in the suite with me? But he didn't call.
It's funny. He didn't call me either.
Well, he's not going to call you. You're a Steelers fan.
He's not going to let me in the suite with all the black and gold. And by the way, people can't see us now. It'd be great if we were on TV. You have your orange and black Bengals shirt on,
yes.
Right? Pullover. I have my Steelers sweatshirt, my Steelers cap. So we're ready to go. We are rivals on the Equine Forum today.
We are rolling. I actually posted a picture of us that we took in the airport in Atlanta a couple years ago when we were both decked out in our team colors.
Speaking of pictures, we tweeted out a couple of pictures from our HRN account this morning. You can follow us at HRRN on Twitter. One of those was a picture that Jenny Reese had taken that you tweeted out, and it was a picture of California Chrome, I believe, right before the Kentucky Derby.
No, it was right before the Preakness.
That was the Preakness, okay. Yeah. And then we tweeted out a second one that Michelle had taken of California Chrome crossing the finish line in front at Pimlico. So you can go to our HRN Twitter feed and see those pictures, relive those moments. And it's appropriate because California Chrome returns to the races later this afternoon at Santa Anita in the Grade 2 San Pasqual. Alan Sherman, his trainer, along with his dad, Art, he will join us. Alan will join us right around 9:30 Eastern time this morning. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Be good to talk to Alan. As you know, he actually won a race for me when he was a bug boy.
Yeah.
You never know by looking at him. He was a jock. Of course, you can say that about a lot of people now. But
well, it's going to be great to talk with Alan. Also going to be great to visit with our guest in this first hour, who you are very familiar with, back by popular demand. He is Michael Hernan of Gainesway Farm. And as the late Pete Coolis, my mentor, used to say, the goalkeeper on the Irish soccer team. With us now in our studio. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys. Good to be here. Happy New Year to everyone, and nice to be back in the studio with both of you.
Yeah, and typically this is the weekend where we head out to the farm and broadcast this show live from Gainesway. We've been doing it for years. We decided it might be logistically easier to have you in the studio with us here this morning. There are some people staying at the guest house at Gainesway today, and boy, what a great experience it is to head out there, Michael, but happy to have you with us in here today.
Absolutely, and it's good to be here in the studio. We are open at Gainesway, extended hours from noon to 3 o'clock, starting today through the sale at Keeneland. So any folks who are in town for the sale or want to go over and have a refresher look, of course, big draw in the form of leading general sire Tappet, supported, of course, by recent addition Empire Maker, who we'll talk about later, and then the young Breeders' Cup winner, French 2000 Guinea winner, Cara Conte. So exciting young horse from Flaxman Holdings that we've joined with Gainesway, and looking forward to another breeding season, and of course supported by, you know, really proven horses like a Fleet Alex, Birdstone, Hattrick, and then our two young horses with first crop 2-year-olds, namely Tapazar and To Honor and Serve. So it's a good group of stallions. They offer a lot. There's a good variance in price, and there's something for everyone at Gainesway.
And we are going to spend time talking about all of those stallions over the course of the next hour. Hour two features, as I mentioned, Alan Sherman, the trainer of California Chrome, at 9:30 Eastern, but kind of sandwiched in between Michael in the first half of the program and Alan at 9:30 is our good friend Billy White, who is the owner of all of the Jimmy John's franchises here in the Lexington area. They have been a supporter of us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network going back more than a decade, and happy to have Billy coming into the studio at 9 o'clock Eastern. If you're going to be selling at the Keeneland sale, so many people listening to this program right now will be out there for various reasons, but so many people consigning horses to that sale, you can order your lunches from Jimmy John's. They will deliver it to you, and you'll get a chance to meet Billy White Shoes when you do that as well, and you'll hear from him at 9 o'clock Eastern. So a very busy program. We're going to kick it off next. We'll tell you all about the Gainesway Stallions right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious 2-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a 3-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million. Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
a multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com. Gulfstream Park's championship meet rolls on this Saturday with a trio of graded stakes featuring some of racing's top older horses, the Grade 3 Marshua's River, Grade 3 Hale's Hope, and Grade 2 Fort Lauderdale. And remember to start your day with breakfast at Gulfstream every Saturday morning. Enjoy a delicious breakfast buffet while taking in the workouts of racing's top thoroughbreds. Plus, each day, you can take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the popular Rainbow Six. Visit GulfstreamPark.com. Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Philip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Philip retired sound following 32 lifetime starts, 23 of those coming in graded stakes, with nine buyer speed figures of 100 or better. By the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms, Seeing is Believing, with Justin Philip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Hashtag Justin's Believers.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tonal is still with a lot to do and full of mind at the back. And now they're moving for the head of the stretch. Private Zone holding on to the lead here. And it's Matru, Mashawish on the far outside. Red Vine in behind as they pass the 3/16 pole. Private Zone challenged here by Matru and Mashawish. Mashawish on the outside and Matru. Those two are right together. Tonalist is putting in a big late run. And Red Vine is splitting horses. The four of them come down to the line. Look like Tonalist got there. Tonalist with a big late run to win the Cigar Mile.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John Embriel with the call of Tonalist winning the Cigar Mile. That would be his final career start, and it would add to his win total of seven lifetime wins. It would add to his earnings of more than $3.6 million, and the Belmont Stakes winner, so brilliant in that final start. What a way to go out on top. He is a son of Gainesway stallion Tappet, the leading sire of 2015 with 45 black type horses and 16 graded stakes winners, five grade one stakes winners, more than $17.4 million in earnings. And Tappet, yeah, he was a big part of that. We're going to visit with Michael Hernan to tell you all about Tappet momentarily, but do want to remind you that next weekend, we return to the Sunshine State to bring you exclusive coverage of the Sunshine Millions live from Gulfstream Park. Coverage begins next Saturday at 3 o'clock Eastern and is all presented by Adina Springs. Who will prove best in the Sunshine State? Well, you can join Jude and I for live coverage of the 2016 Sunshine Millions to find out. It's all next Saturday, beginning 3 o'clock Eastern, right here on HRRN. Michael, how about this season for Tappet? Just when you thought he couldn't top what he had done in the past... Here he comes again.
He sure did, Mike. He's a remarkable horse, back-to-back leading general sire here in the U.S. As you mentioned, five grade one winners, 16 graded stakes winners. His earnings are actually a bit more than you had. They're over $18 million. It's a new record. And Tappet's really a remarkable horse in every way. His progeny excel at all distances, colts, fillies, and it doesn't matter about the surface either. And he's got a really exciting young two-year-old in the form of Mo Heyman for Shadwell Stables and Kieran McLaughlin, undefeated two-year-old, dual grade graded stakes winner. And he's obviously pointed to the first Saturday in May at Churchill. Promising horse for sure, talented. It looks like there's plenty in reserve there. And he's really exciting horse. But Tappet's had a remarkable year. Also in the sale ring, we were fortunate to have a really good colt out of the Winning Colors female family. And he was the sale topper when Mandy Pope was forced into a bidding duel by Bob Baffert. And the colt made $2.1 million. He was the sale topper. We also consigned another very good colt out of Pure Clan, grade one winner, for Gonzalo Torrealba of Three Chimneys, and that colt made $1,650,000. He was the second high-selling colt at the sale, and the market has really caught up with Tappet. The performance is exceptional. The expectation is high. The results are even higher, and there's great versatility. As you mentioned, Tonalist finishing up his career with a grade one win in the Cigar Mile, and now gone to stud at Lane's End, having won the Belmont previously. So, you know, he can get top runners at all distances, gets two-year-old champions like Stardom Bound, who elevated him to the leading freshman and juvenile sire with his first crop. And from then, it's just been graded stakes performer after one after another. We saw Hansen emerge as a top two-year-old in his own right and won the Breeders' Cup at Churchill in a very tough game, gutsy performance, defeating Union Rags. And the list of graded stakes winners go on, and there's great versatility and colts, fillies. It's pretty remarkable.
You know, he mentions the name Mo Heyman, who is in the barn of Kieran McLaughlin, as Michael alluded to, one of the top contenders at this point for the Kentucky Derby. And had a great workout yesterday. Sizzled 47 4/5 seconds. He galloped out 5/8 in 1 minute 4/5 at Palm Meadows. He's a player.
Yeah, he really is a nice horse. And my friend Bruno DiGiulio, who's a private clocker, he wrote the horse up a few days ago about his gallops and how he started to really improve. And then he popped off with that work yesterday. And pretty eye-catching. He's not a real big horse, but he's a very game horse, and I think he's Nyquist major competition. I think those two are head and shoulders above the rest of the group right now. It's kind of a lull in the Derby season. I mean,
you know, well, after last year.
Well, I mean, but just in general, I mean, I just don't think we haven't seen a lot of flashy horses. I think those two are far and away the best, and I wouldn't be surprised. A friend of mine in Great Britain got 33-1 on Mo Heyman, so he's pretty happy about that.
I would take 33-1 on Mo Heyman.
Yeah, that's pretty good number. Huh?
But you run through all of the statistics of a horse like Tappet, and we know how good he's been. What's the key to that success and that consistent success with a stallion like Tappet?
It's really hard to define. I think he's just proven himself beyond a doubt that he can really move his mares up. He gets increasingly better mares as we go along here, and just a remarkable book of mares last year. And as you mentioned earlier on the program, California Chrome, his dam is booked to the horse for this year, and you know, it's just one graded stakes producing mare or graded stakes winner after another applying to him. He stands for 300,000. We do limit the number of mares bred to him. His book is capped at 135 mares. And, you know, his covering sire average this year was 1,521,000, which kind of tells you how the market responds to mares pregnant to Tappet.
Yeah.
you know, top yearlings like Mo Heyman, $2.2 million yearling. He had the record price North American weanling at $3 million. And so the performance on the racetrack has now been supported very significantly in the marketplace. He continues to set records and, you know, huge year this year, back-to-back leading sire on the great, on the general sires list. The one thing I think that defines Tappet is his, with his through his progeny are they're real high-level performers. They're so tough. They're so competitive. They're consistent. They're sound. Tonalist came back this year with big performances and goes out a grade one winner. Untappable, Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, comes back with a win in the Apple Blossom grade one this year. He gets, you know, they're tough, they maintain their form, they're sound, they're very competitive racehorses, and they have that, you know, undeniable character and will to win, and he seems to impart that to really all of them.
What about you mentioned the Book of Mares. Does he have syndicate members, or is he privately owned, or how many actual outside mares get a shot at it?
Oh, quite a few. He's largely owned by Ron Winchell, who raced him, and Anthony Beck of Gainsway. There are shareholders. They've changed over the years as the shares have appreciated, and some of the people got in early, decided to take the profit. But there's broad, widespread demand for Tappet internationally. We have some breeders from Japan using the horse. He did have a yearling there earlier this year, bring $1,530,000, who was the second high-selling colt in the Japanese select sale. We have some European patronage to Tappet. He's getting a bigger chance over there. He's got a very good filly in France for Judmont. And then, of course, we have strong internal support domestically. There are a lot of breed-to-race people who use the horse, and we try and keep the book balanced so that he's not oversupplied in the auction arena, but yet there's good representation there. So I think anyone with a top mare is going to have Tappet on a short list, at least for consideration. There's no question he can significantly change a mare's life and her future because he's got such a high strike rate of producing a top runner and a big graded stakes winner. So we've seen that through the years, and it continues to endure.
It's like an investment, actually, right? I mean, if you've got a nice mare and you breed a Tappet, it's more of an investment than anything else, because chances are if you get a decent foal, that foal is going to bring a lot of money at the sale, and your mare is going to appreciate in value automatically.
Well, I agree, but more significantly, the appreciation comes when the progeny hits the racetrack and she suddenly can become the dam of a graded stakes winner, and therefore subsequent foals from the mare are elevated in price. She obviously is as well. So he's certainly changed many mares' lives and elevated them significantly. And, of course, having mentioned the covering sire price of over $1.5 million, you can see it right there for an immediate return on the $300,000 stud fee.
Yeah, well, Tappet may be the king of the stallion shed at Gainsway, but when he looks down across the way, he's going to see a couple of new faces this year. And one of those is our old friend Empire Maker, who is back in the United States, the sire of 11 grade one winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner Royal Delta. And Michael, congratulations on bringing Empire Maker back to the States.
Well, he's a great addition. Wonderful horse, beautiful horse to look at. High-class racehorse, very good stallion. We're delighted to have secured him to Gainsway in partnership with Don Alberto Corp. And they're heavily supporting the horse, as are Gainsway. There's strong demand for him. This obviously was a pivotal year with the success of the Triple Crown winner and his grandson, American Pharaoh, and, you know, his son, Pioneer of the Nile over at Windstar, Empire Maker's proven. He's got all those grade one winners. He really looks the part. He was a top runner, and he's great value. He's very popular at 100,000 life old stand and nurse, and he's a big addition to Gainsway, and there are a lot of people are delighted to see him back who so they can access him going forward. And we did buy a couple of weanlings by Empire Maker, and some other farms have bought some stock by him. So you're going to see some yearlings in the sales this year by Empire Maker. And wonderful temperament, class. He came in great style and in great condition. And he's very popular, and he's obviously a big draw. And having him right there with Tappet is a very strong statement for Gainsway Farm.
Yeah, he's just a sensational sire, and one of those typical ones that was sold, and all of a sudden his progeny took off, and everybody's going, "Why'd they sell him?" And you managed to get him back, and I think that's a great thing for American breeders.
Absolutely, and he's very popular.
It's a very square stud fee too. $100,000 is you know, that's, I mean, for a horse of that quality, it's really a good deal.
I think so, and thank you. It's it makes sense, and I think given his looks and his performance as a stallion, it gives breeders a chance to, you know, do well, cash in, make money, and of course he'll move those mares up as well, and it's good business.
Yeah, and it's obvious when you look at his record as a stallion why Gainsway would want to stand him at stud and bring him back to the United States. But Michael, how much of the thought process goes toward, okay, how's he going to fit with the other stallions that we have in the stallion barn right now? Where does that play into it, or does it play into it?
Well, financially, it fits very well because he comes in under Tappet at a price point where, you know, a lot of breeders can rationalize he's a horse worth using. Tappet so far ahead stud fee-wise based on his performance. You know, we needed a horse, between the others that we have. Mm-hmm. And he seemed to fit the bill. You've got the previous connection with Unbridled, but at that price, as Jude mentioned, he's, you know, warrants a lot of consideration. He's very popular. He too will be limited to 135 mares. So, and I think there's good, you know, as mentioned with Don Alberto sending top mares, and they're going to race quite a few of those. Again, the market will be able to absorb the ones that commercial breeders bring to Empire Maker, so there's very good chance that those yearlings will be profitable from a breeding perspective.
Well, he's also a very good broodmare sire, so he's the kind of horse where if you have a mare that maybe you'd like to, you know, keep a younger model for down the road, if you could get a filly by him, that would be a tremendous coup for a breeder that has a long term project. I mean, you know, you can look at the short term or the long term, but that's a big plus too, because, you know, everybody wants to get a colt, a derby horse, this and that. But if you're looking as a breeder down the road and you wanted to have something out of one of your best mares that could be a great producer, I mean, that's a horse to go to. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, Empire Maker, one of two new additions to that stallion roster at Gainsway this year. We're going to get to a short break. It's time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, we'll tell you about the other new addition to that stallion roster at Gainsway. It's all next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a race was lost. This is the story of the tragic demise of a thoroughbred who was thought by some to have been the greatest horse ever to don a set of racing plates. He raced in the colors of Darby Dan Farm and was trained by Lloyd Gentry. He was the son of Rebo out of Flower Bowl by Alibi, and by late April of his three-year-old campaign had become the solid choice for the Kentucky Derby. He was a big, rock-solid colt who had muscles that literally rippled with raw power. In terms of conformation, he was some kind of a thoroughbred specimen. He won his first seven races by an average margin of 5.5 lengths and never had a rival finish closer than 4 lengths to him. Incredible! He'd never gone over 7/8 of a mile in any of his wins until the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland on April 28, 1966. In that race, he was beaten a bare nostril by the very good Abe's Hope, but, as it turned out, that was his greatest performance of an abbreviated career, which in fact ended with that race. He had run the final 5 furlongs of that race on a sloppy racetrack on what amounted to 3 legs and a mountain of courage. That story well worth recounting. He had been reshod April 21st, 1 week before the Bluegrass, after he had been plated by one farrier, another put a new bar shoe on his left hind foot, which he had bruised in Florida. It appeared he might be carrying that foot a bit high on Sunday, April 24th, when he worked 1.140 miles, and his stride was a measured one. Veteran horsemen well know that when a horse goes bad behind, it usually means trouble up front somewhere down the line. On April 27th, the morning before the Bluegrass, he worked 3/8 and 33 and 4 on a sloppy track. To the careful observer, it was apparent he was off a bit in his left front as he trotted back to the barn to be cooled out. In the Bluegrass the next afternoon, he broke like a cannon shot and was 6 in front going around the clubhouse turn. At just about the 5/8 pole, he took a noticeably bad step, almost stopping in midair, as a matter of fact, and from that point on, he continued on nothing more than sheer, pure, raw courage. You see, at that point of the misstep, he had fractured the wing of the coffin bone in his left forefoot, as it was discovered later. Braulio Baeza, the cool Panamanian who rode him in 6 of his 7 wins, said, quote, "He went around the turn fairly good, but as soon as he got into the straightaway on the backside, he tried to run out, which, in fact, hurt or sore horses are prone to do. Quote, "I tapped him on the shoulder a couple of times, trying to keep him straight, but he tried to get out all the way down the backside, and he was still trying to get out after the race," unquote. In that race, he galloped out 1.25 miles in 2:03 and 2. On Sunday, May 1st, 6 days before the Kentucky Derby, the fracture showed up in X-rays. And not only was he subsequently withdrawn from the run for the Roses, but his racing career was at an end. That marvelous thoroughbred, who later went on to outstanding seasons of production in the breeding shed, and who was, in some observers' eyes, the very best to ever grace American racetracks, was Graustark. His story is indeed a tragic yet memorable moment in thoroughbred racing.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, and you're in the horse business, there's no other place to go than the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back to continue our visit with Michael Herner from Gainesway right after this.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track. Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Here comes Blame! Blame has won it ahead!
A photo finish that Blame got!
6 graded stakes wins, 3 grade 1 victories, 9 consecutive 100-plus buyers. And now, Blame has sired graded stakes quality from his first crop. His first runners are stars at tracks across the country.
It's far from over with a terrific performance!
Eclipse champion Blame at Claiborne Farm.
Cara Conti, from the immediate family of champion sire King Mambo, winner of the Group 1 Grand Criterium at Tulle, Cara Conti captured the sire-making French 2000 Guineas. A Breeders' Cup Mile winner in 132 and 4/5, Cara Conti posted the highest turf buyer of the year.
Cara Conti with a rush on the outside goes by them. Cara Conti at a door. Cara Conti!
Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe. Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front! And Joe Bravo have won!
A multiple graded stakes-winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mustajib is 2.5 lengths off of them. Then comes Veda and Cara Conti, and they're coming to the top of the stretch. And obviously turns it on! Obviously in front, Toronado drifting off to the center of the course. And then it's Mustajib. Cara Conti is closing in. Obviously the catch. Cara Conti with a rush on the outside goes by him. Lead runs from Edo-Doll. Cara Conti, Edo-Doll. Cara Conti! Edo-Doll was second. Great Storm was third. And Summer Front was fourth.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry Colmus with the call of that impressive win in the Breeders' Cup Mile by Cara Conti, who just always seemed to put in his best effort and really explode through the stretch, and he did it that day. He gets the victory at Santa Anita. He retires to Gainesway Farm with 5 victories from 12 lifetime starts and nearly $2 million in purse earnings. He is one of 2 new additions to the stallion roster for this upcoming breeding season. And we'll tell you all about Cara Conti in just a moment. But we do have to remind you that, of course, this program over the next few months presented by our friends at Lane's End. And when you talk about Lane's End, you talk about Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map. And they reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip. The successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues. Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com. Well, if you can't tell, another farm with its own legacy is Gainesway, and Michael Hernan from Gainesway is in studio with us this morning. Michael, I mentioned the name Cara Conti. We hear that call from Larry Colmus. Brings back great memories for those of us that watched him roll the victory in the Breeders' Cup Mile. That was not his only sensational performance in that stellar career.
Absolutely. Flaxman Holdings have combined with Gainsway to bring Karakunte to stud at Gainsway, and Karakunte has a license to be a top stallion. He's got pedigree, he's got the performance, he's got a great physical. He's a son of Bernstein. This is the Stormcat male line. Bernstein himself sired 15 Grade 1 winners. Karakunte made his name early on the racetrack in France, racing at the top level. He won three of four starts, including the all-important Grand Criterium Group 1 race there. He was also won a Group 3, the Prix La Rochette. And then as a three-year-old, he came on and won the very significant sire-producing French 2000 Guineas. It was previously won by very significant stallions such as Blushing Groom, Riverman, Irish River, and, of course, King Mambo, who is out of Miesque, who's the third dam of Karakunte. Miesque, of course, was the brilliant mare, five-time champion, multiple Grade 1 winner, and she is, of course, dam of King Mambo, great-looking horse who Karakunte resembles, and King Mambo was a leading international sire. So this horse has a top stallion in his female family. He's got the speed, a Stormcat on the top line through Bernstein and through his performance in the Grand Criterium. And Flaxman and Gainsway will support this horse strongly with mares. He's priced at 15,000 live foal. He's available for showing through the sales from noon to 3 o'clock, and very appealing, correct horse, and he's got it all to be a stallion. We're excited about him, and welcome breeders to come to Gainsway at their convenience and check him out.
Yeah, what a fantastic pedigree page he's got.
You think?
Unbelievable. Well, I mean, you look at some of the mares that are in there. Forget the fact that there's, you know, two Kentucky Derby winners, but Terlingua and Wishing Well and Miesque. I mean, you know, you're looking at some power there. It's just a fantastic page, and obviously a great looking horse with a lot of talent.
Yeah, Michael touched on the fit of a horse like Empire Maker with that stallion roster, but you bring in a horse like Karakunte, and Michael, I have to think that gives breeders some unbelievable options and some different ways to go when they look at the Gainsway stallions.
Well, I think so, and, you know, there's a lot of money to be won on turf here in the U.S., and this is a horse who'll also have appeal for his progeny back into Europe and Japan, since he's out of a Sunday Silence mare. And Flaxman will strongly support the horse along with Gainsway. And his performance was exceptional in the Breeders' Cup Mile. It was the top buyer turf speed figure that year. He got 110, and he ran a 2 on the rag. And the way he accelerated was, you know, spectacular, to say the least. And he's obviously got a real engine. And frankly, I compare him somewhat as a young stallion coming in to Tappet. You know, they were both graded stakes winners at 2, Grade 1 winners at 3. This horse is by the very influential and successful Stormcat line. And, of course, he's got this wonderful female family behind him. And, of course, Tappet came out of a sire-producing female family. So there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of pedigree. He's proven in the French 2000 Guineas. He's proven in the U.S. with that spectacular top performance in the Breeders' Cup. And he's an exciting young horse with a license to be successful at stud.
Karakunte may be one of the new additions to that Gainsway roster, but there are several established and proven horses there, including a Fleet Alex and Birdstone. And, Michael, let's start with a Fleet Alex. What a year he had in 2015.
Terrific year for a Fleet Alex. I mean, champion. He was, you know, just shy of winning the Triple Crown. He's really proven himself as a stallion. He's highly recommended by Bill Oppenheim as the value play this year, 2016, a 12-5 live foal. Eclipse champion, proven, very fertile horse. He can get you a top runner such as Texas Red, who last year in 15, was a top-graded stakes winner at Saratoga. We expect him back this year with Keith DeSormo and with the retirement of the likes of Tonalist and American Pharaoh, Texas Red, Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, will be very tough. So Fleet Alex, he's well-known, tough horse, highly competitive. He's consistent. He's fertile. He's affordable. He's great value. And he can really help make a mare for breeders at an affordable price. Moving on then to Birdstone. He, of course, has sired a Kentucky Derby winner in Mind That Bird. He sired a champion in Summer Bird. He had a Grade 1 winner this year. And he's value price, 5,000, live foal, and neat, attractive horse. A lot of people remember Birdstone only as the Breeders or the Belmont Stakes winner, who denied Smarty Jones the Triple Crown. But if you look closely, you'll see he won the Champagne at 2, Grade 1. And he has speed. He can get runners with speed. And he's proven. He's fertile. And, again, a very good buy at the money.
Jude, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I've said for a long time, I think Birdstone is the most underrated stallion in the game today. Okay, I don't think he gets nearly the respect that he deserves. You sire a Kentucky Derby winner, you sire an Eclipse champion. I just don't think that he gets the respect he deserves.
And you can get to him for $5,000.
And you can get to him for $5,000.
So, you know, what are you waiting for?
Why, Michael, why is that? Do you agree with me on that statement? Is Birdstone the most underrated stallion or one of?
Well, I don't know if he's the most underrated. He's probably the best buy at stud, given his Grade 1 performance as a racehorse. And look at the list of graded stakes winners he sired, including the Kentucky Derby winner. And then Noble Bird comes along this year for Marcassi, Grade 1 winner. I mean, he's consistent and, you know, he's a great buy. And if you're operating at that level, with a young mare, you don't want to put a lot of money in her. You can certainly do give yourself a great chance to make her a stakes producer with Birdstone at a very fair price.
Now, a couple of other stallions at Gainesway that we definitely need to touch on. You talk about Tappet, so you have to talk about Tapazar, who stands there, and then you have to talk about To Honor and Serve. Tell me about those two, Michael.
Well, starting with Tapazar. Came in off the racetrack off an exciting win in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at Santa Anita. He beat a top field. He won by over 3 lengths. It was a dominating performance. He was very popular from the start. This year his yearlings sold extremely well. They averaged 93,000. His fee remains at 15. He's very popular, trading well. Fertile horse. He's out of the deputy minister mayor winning call. He's got size and strength and body. He dominates his mares. His sales are strong. He's good value. He's a son of the great Tappet. He's got a lot of pedigree in his own right. And he retired sound off that exciting win in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So he's a horse with a license to make it at stud. And he's proving very popular, as he should.
Yeah, he certainly should. And of course, you know, To Honor and Serve, we talk about him, Bernardini's Grade 1 winning millionaire. Here's a horse that just has the looks, the pedigree. He has it all.
Yeah, he does. Campaigned by Charlotte Weber, trained by Bill Mott. This horse made his mark at 2. He won the Remsen and the Nashua. He went on then as a 3-year-old. He won the Pennsylvania Derby and, more significantly, the Cigar Mile Grade 1. Beating a good field atop older horses. He won that rather easily, a mile in 1:33.4. And then at 4, he came back with a top race in the Woodward Stakes Grade 1 at Saratoga. He defeated Mucho Macho Man. They'd drawn well clear of the field, and he just wouldn't be denied. And Tanner and Serve also liked Tapazar out of a deputy minister mayor. Big, rangy, good-looking horse, son of Bernardini. You know, it's the AP Indy sire line. Again, we know that how prolific that is. And this horse has good representation, good numbers, and he's worth a hard look at 15,000. He'll put leg on a mare, and his two-year-olds are just turned two are training forwardly in Florida, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see some early success for those this year racing at two, because this horse himself was plenty precocious. He won three or four, including the Remsen and the Nashua, both grade two stakes.
Yeah, I remember when you first got him to the farm and you called me and you said, Jude, you got to come out. Look at this. You know,
so I remember you telling me about that. Yeah.
So I got in the car and I drove out to Gainesway, and it was like you just had a kid or something. And he was so beautiful. And we stood around for like an hour and looked at him. He's just really a gorgeous horse. And you know, when you said he was going to have 2-year-olds this year, I go, man, that time flew by.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you don't really realize how fast it goes, but now, now he's going to have babies run, but what a he was a tremendous racehorse, very very good horse, and a very good looking horse. So lots to like about him.
Absolutely, got a license also to be a stallion. He's got support from Live Oak, Charlotte Weber, and good fertile horse. He's got the pedigree, he's got the performance, he's got the looks, and you know, he's got every chance to make it at stud, and he's proving popular again this year. And we're looking to those two-year-old sales here in a few months and expect to see some solid results in that quarter and see him have runners into the summer and fall who should make their mark as he did.
Speaking of sales, Michael, you're going to be very busy with the Gainesway consignment kicking off on Monday at the Keeneland January sale. What barn will you be in? How can people find you?
We start off in 24 and we'll be well represented. We'll be around and about at the sale ring. This year, the January sale is slightly more modest group of horses, probably. We had a terrific year selling this year, of course, as mentioned. The sale topper, Keeneland, September. We had terrific results. We moved another step forward to the top of the by average and median. We sold over $33 million worth of yearlings, and it was a very good sale. We did sell very well for both Donald Burdo and Three Chimneys, who was the first time for both of those consigning with Gainesway. And we've got some excellent Tappet progeny on the farm, and again, looks like, you know, we'll go back to Saratoga with quality horses, and we'll come on to Keeneland September with a good group, and we're excited about the year ahead. And it was really a very successful year for the consignment, and we're getting, you know, now a lot of performers coming through from the consignment in the way of successful racehorses.
And again, we'll encourage people to visit the website, gainesway.com, to learn more about all of the stallions we talked about here this morning. We'll encourage you to stop out to the farm. Michael, you mentioned noon to 3 will be the hours that you'll be showing the stallions over the course of the next week when people are in town for that January sale.
Absolutely. Noon to 3 o'clock. You don't need a specific appointment. Just drop out there, and Carl Buckler and his crew at the Stallion Complex will take care of you. You'll see horses efficiently, quickly. They'll be ready to be shown, and you'll be on your way back to Keeneland.
He's Michael Herner from Gainesway Farm. Michael, you've been a supporter of this program long before I came on board. It's always a delight to sit here and visit with you and have you on the show, and thank you for all your continued support. I really do appreciate it.
Well, good to see you and Jude here, and enjoy the game tonight. And
well, we will.
Don't take it too seriously.
Thanks for the croissant, too, by the way. Outstanding. Michael Hernan, Gainesway, here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back with more, get you set for a very busy second half of the program. We'll tell you all about that next, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Palace, the multiple grade one winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire CityZip. Palace proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the grade one Forgo Stakes, grade one Vanderbilt Stakes, and grade two True North Stakes. Palace is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Palace, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Penna, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. But the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit PDJF.org and start making a difference today.
If you're not listening to ExpressBet Radio on HRRN, here's what you're missing.
Jockey Victor Espinoza. Victor, what point of the Belmont did you know you had it won?
Before the race, I thought if I can open it up one length before I hit to the first turn, then it'll be all over. And that was the moment that I know I win the race, right in the first turn when I open it up one length and get American Pharoah in his high speed that he always has. And that time I was, so the race is over.
The biggest names in racing are on the A-Train. Every Wednesday through Friday on Express Bet Radio.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You know, one of the great things about Verizon is they are always watching out for their customers. Not only do they have the largest 4G LTE network, but right now you can receive up to $650 by switching to Verizon. Go to the nearest Verizon store for details at Verizon.com. You can learn a little bit more about that promotion as well. And our thanks to Verizon for powering all of our remote broadcasts throughout the year. When we go on site, our Verizon wireless card does a phenomenal job. Our thanks to them for all their support of the Horse Racing Radio Network as well. JT, I know you're wondering if we've edged a little bit closer to the Kentucky Derby, and no doubt we have. We are now 119 days, 8 hours, 35 minutes, and 50 seconds away from the Run for the Roses.
So I've still got time to get down.
Yes, you can get Mohaman at whatever price you want to get Mohaman at.
Yeah. Well, I think in the United States, he's going to be a rather short price when the next future bet pops up.
We should do a countdown on our website at horseracingradio.net for all of our broadcasts. Because now we're 28 days away from the debut of Saturdays at Gulfstream, coming on the heels of our highly successful Saturdays at Saratoga series this past summer. That kicks off February 6th with the Don Handicap. We'll be there for 9 consecutive Saturdays, all the way through the Florida Derby on April 2nd. I know, don't feel bad for us. Florida in the winter. We'll be there for 2.5 months. just to rub it in a little bit. How about next Saturday?
Next Saturday, Sunshine Millions. Looking forward.
I can tell.
It's going to be an excellent card.
Yeah, it is going to be.
There are stakes all over the country that day. It's an unbelievable docket of races next Saturday.
Yeah, our coverage kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern time next Saturday. All of that Sunshine Millions coverage presented by our friends at Adina Springs. You can go to adinastallions.com to learn more about their stallion roster, which, boy, you talk about phenomenal, outstanding at Adina Springs as well. So a lot of things coming up over the course of the next several months here on the network as we take you down that road to the Kentucky Derby. But next Saturday, Sunshine Millions exclusively here on HRRN. Going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, looking forward to it.
All right, we're going to get to hour number two. Billy White from Jimmy John's just walked into the studio. You're going to hear from him, and if you're consigning horses at that Keeneland January sale, this is somebody that you want to listen to in just a couple of minutes. And Alan Sherman, the man who conditions Kentucky Derby winner California Chrome, along with his father, Art. Alan is going to be with us at 9:30 Eastern time. So that's all ahead, hour number two of the Equine Forum, right after we pause 10 seconds. For station identification, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on this ninth day of January 2016. A special welcome back to everybody joining us throughout HRN Nation across North America on Sirius XM Channel 93, and all of you taking us with you on your smartphone, your tablet, or even on your computer with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net, and of course everyone joining us on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. It's been a fun first half of the program, our visit with Michael Herndon from Gainesway, which has become customary on this particular Saturday morning every year, and now looking forward to the second half with our special guest Billy White from Jimmy John's here in Lexington. He is with us in studio, and as I mentioned, Alan Sherman will join us right around 9:30 Eastern to talk about California Chrome. And Jude, if people are just tuning in and they missed us at the beginning of the program at 8 o'clock Eastern when we came on the air, we tweeted out a couple of pictures of California Chrome that you had one that Jenny Reese had taken. I had one on my phone that my wife Michelle had taken. We put those out there, and people can go to our Twitter page at HRN. I can say that, at HRRN on Twitter, to see those photographs.
Yeah, pretty cool. And I'm going to tweet one out right now of Alan Sherman winning a race for me when he was a bug boy.
You tweeted out that picture of you in your pumpkin shirt.
Am I
getting personal now?
My pumpkin shirt?
To sit here and have to stare at the Cincinnati Bengals. I can't believe you come in here and disrespect me like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to. It's a rule. I have to support the Bengals.
You know the Steelers are favored in that game tonight, right?
No, they're not. The Bengals are favored.
No, they're not.
When did the line change?
It has been Steelers -2.5 and -3 all along. Just for entertainment purposes, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, they are the favorite in that game.
Well, you know, favorites only win one third of the time.
Not in Cincinnati, though, when we're talking about the Steelers. It's a little more frequently than that. But, no, that should be, you and I joke about this a lot, and you tweeted out the picture of you and your Bengals stuff and me and my Steelers attire. And
yeah, I was much more conservatively dressed in that photo. This thing makes me look like a gigantic candy corn.
We need a picture of that. We'll get you a picture of the Pontiff, the candy corn Pontiff here in a few minutes on our Twitter account. So make sure you're following us at HRRN. Hey, Billy White Shoes, you're not in black and gold. You're not in orange and black. You're in the red and white colors of Jimmy John's, my friend.
Absolutely. Good morning, ladies. Good to see both of you knuckleheads. It's been a long 2 days since we had dinner.
Ooh. You missed us, huh?
I'm glad I missed all those pictures you tweeted out of you as a big candy corn kind of pumpkin person. So, you know, I got my Jimmy John stuff on, man. This is a work day for me. You know, the sales have been phenomenal. I love, you know, from Michael to his crew to gosh, I'm gonna head out to the barns. I'm gonna work every barn today and say hello to the people that have been our clients and customers. And we should do a big business out there. We'll deliver right out there to the barns we have for years. And Jeremy and everybody at the Palomar location are real fired up about this next week coming. So it's a good week for us. It's good for business, and people have been very supportive of the Jimmy John's team out of Palomar.
I want number 14.
Now, you know I don't know my own menu. What is that?
Come on. What do you mean, what is that?
Beach Club?
No, it's the Hunter Club.
Oh,
it's the one with the roast beef and the turkey on it. That's a serious sandwich.
I'm going to fire myself and then hire myself back at half salary.
But you know.
I deserve that.
You know what a number 9 is, right? That's Drew Brees' favorite.
It is the number 9, yeah. Yes. And he's a franchisee.
Drew Brees?
Yeah, he sure is. New Orleans. He has the New Orleans market, and as you can imagine, I'm sure it's gangbusters for him. So,
how about a number 4?
The number 4 would be the Pepe.
Turkey Tom.
Come on, man.
Number 9 is the Italian nightclub.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, that's
double the meat of the Vito. A very good sandwich. I highly recommend it. One of my favorites. You might want to try a vegetarian.
I usually get the one that's wrapped in the lettuce.
Wow.
That's the unwich.
That's what I usually get. Those are delicious.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
How do they do that? That's the best like lettuce wrapped sandwich I've ever had.
It's full head of lettuce, and they just peel off the full leaf and then wrap any sandwich on the menu in this lettuce. And then they have a way of wrapping it in the paper where you just peel it off and eat it as you go. It doesn't fall apart.
No, it's fantastic.
It's really good.
If you are watching your carbs, and as you know, it's bikini season. We're headed down to Florida. I can't allow my public to be, you know.
I understand. Will we have pictures to look forward to tweeting of you and your Speedo?
When the Baron pops up on my phone, there's a really nice picture of the Baron. Bare chested in the pool with a cigar and a cocktail.
Hashtag topless Baron.
Another good diet secret.
I don't know why that's the picture he has on his phone of me when I call, but yeah,
it's a great picture.
Yeah, people have said we're like the best bromance in racing, life partners.
You guys are also another good diet secret. Just the thought of that takes your appetite completely away.
Yeah, we're trying to sell Jimmy
I'm not
John's here
eat for days now.
Not grotesque, everybody out there in HRN Nation. Hey, Billy, let's get one thing out in the open right now. Yep. Not only are you involved with the Lexington Jimmy John's franchises, but you are also a gigantic fan of horse racing. You have been in the business for a long time. You had several racehorses through our friends at Ashby Thoroughbreds. So you've been an owner. You are a handicapper. You've been involved with the sport for a long time. So it's not just about the sandwiches for you. You love this game.
Oh, I think it all started at the same time. Absolutely. You and I spoke in the early 2000s, I believe. We started our first Jimmy John's on Limestone. We bought that store in 1999 or 98. And I've owned horses off and on since the early 90s. So, yeah, I got the bug at Arlington. I had a box right next to Mr. Taffel. I saw him and Carl Nafsker a number of times. And just I fell in love with it. I'm enamored with the horse. The animal is incredible. Always a thrill to be around him live. And I enjoy handicapping and betting a few races. Had a big time at the Breeders' Cup. At Keeneland, they did a phenomenal job. Sat next to Toby Keith and his crew for 2 days.
Name dropper.
I never left. Yes, I am. That's the only name I got.
It's been going around HRN lately.
Yeah, yes. I tried to say I was with Mike Pena last night when I was at a restaurant. It didn't work. I had to pay the full tab.
Did you tell him you knew Rolly Hoyt?
Yeah, nothing happened.
Should have dropped the Rolly Hoyt on.
But that's the Breeders' Cup and that experience with Toby and his buddies, great people, horse guys, real cowboys. He's got 1,000 head of horses. He loves the game. And my career has been one great event after another with you guys, with doing shows down at Miami, doing shows at fairgrounds. It's been a phenomenal run. I have two children in college now, so no horses.
That'll put a kibosh on the horse ownership.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So when you go out to the barns, and like you're going to do here in a little while when you get off the air with us, and you start visiting with all the consigners, for you, it's a labor of love. I can imagine you probably have to tear yourself away from the consignments to go back and get the sandwiches and bring back to people.
Yeah, I tend to have the gift of gab. It runs in the family, and it's fun. I love to go out and everybody from Hunter Valley to Stevie's wife at Woodford, yep. Thoroughbreds, they already have their orders in. That's really important to us. We go back there. I want them to know that we appreciate that. We're working hard to make the sandwiches. It's only the sandwich business, but it means a lot to us. And to have customers that come back over and over again, it means the world. So I want to go out there, make sure they know that we own this place. We're family. We own all the stores here in Lexington. And the horse business and the people involved are very important to us. So we love it out there.
But
I love to go out.
If people are consigning to the sale and they do want to order Jimmy John's for lunch to have it delivered to the barn, you'll deliver it right to their consignment for them, but they have to call the Palomar location,
yes,
correct?
The Palomar location is the key. Jeremy and his crew, and I'll be working with them all week, and just call the store directly. I'm going to mess up the orders if they give them to me. If they do ask me about the orders, I'll immediately get them to Jeremy, and we'll bring out, you know, we need to 4 or 5 sandwiches. It's really important that we send the boys out that are doing the deliveries with a box or so, but we're happy to get them whatever they want.
I'm going to throw the phone number out there for this location.
Perfect.
We'll give it again before we let you go, but
859-523-6999.
That's the number for the Palomar Jimmy John's. If you're out there at the Keeneland sale, you're tuning in now, you want to have lunch delivered, trust me, you can't do any better than Jimmy John's. 859-523-6999. The number to call and place that order, and you can do that right now. Right? They're open now?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's been there since 5 a.m. prepping
Making
bread, yeah.
And there's no limit. You can order as much as...
Oh, please.
Right? Yeah.
Someone please order 200 sandwiches. I'll deliver them personally. Yeah, no order is too big for us. We've done 2,500 sandwiches at one time for the Sorority Rush program. We've done 500 or 600 box lunches for big-ass fans, big-ass solutions.
Yep.
UPS, 350 box lunches at 6 a.m. So we love that kind of stuff. And you know what? I think that the horse business starts at 4 a.m. and goes till 4 a.m. It is amazing. Those teams are out at the barn just before you and I get up, I can tell you that, and until late in the day. So we want it to be simple, easy. Call us. We'll bring it out. You don't move. We bring it to you guys. And that's what Jimmy's been doing that for 30 years that he's, you know, had the company. So,
yeah, the customer service is outstanding, and that's – you know, what separates your company from a lot of others. I mean,
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah, and Billy, a Chicago native, now living here in Lexington, and for good reason, because in February, we're going to see the debut of a brand new franchise that Billy White will be involved with. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we are. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, we are diversifying our little restaurant portfolio, and we are moving into this, this fast casual pizza business. It is a brand called Uncle Maddio's, M-A-D-D-I-O-S, Uncle Maddio's Pizza Joint. We have broken ground in Chevy Chase at the corner of Euclid and Marquis, right next to the Fort Kroger. I think they call it Fort Kroger, the Kroger down there in Chevy Chase. It's near our Euclid store, one of our best stores. Eric Ping runs that store for us, and it's been a great location. And this is going to be a super place. We're going to have 5 or 6 big screen TVs. We're going to have local brews from Country Boy, from Alltech. We're going to have a little Stella Artois on tap. And this is going to be under the same model as the Jimmy John's. No freezer. We prep everything every day. 25 different vegetables. 5 different crusts, including gluten-free. 15 different proteins with vegan cheese, with 3 different kinds of chicken prepped there, marinated there, cooked there. It's going to be incredible. Todd Sackett, our partner in the Jimmy John's, he'll be running that operation. Matt Sackett will run the Jimmy John's operation. and I'll be out front bussing tables, saying hello to everybody, and it's going to be a phenomenal place. We'll have it open probably the mid to the third week of February, and big outdoor patio, two big garage doors that open up to the outside. So I think it's going to be phenomenal for families, for guys that want to come and have a quick cold beer before a basketball game, watch a basketball game, and it's going to be a great operation, great location. We're thrilled to death about it. There's a lot of people in that business coming into town, but we're good. I think we're good operators. We love what we do. We love being, you know, the Sackett boys and I have known each other since I was 10, 45 years. We own all the stores here. We got our families here, and it's going to be, we're fired up. We're going to have a big area with Big Blue Nation and some horse racing stuff, and maybe even an HRRN logo if you play your cards right.
Wow. Yeah. How about, wow. Man, you know you've made it when.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I did get 4 free glasses from your party at the Breeders' Cup.
How about that?
And those are nice glasses,
they
are they
the
not?
The only ones I'm using. The only ones I have.
From Embrace the Race.
How about that? Throwing up that picture of Topless Baron on the wall? What do you think of that?
No, we'd like to sell some pizza. We'd like to sell some pizza to people. So we're going to have...
Maybe you could put a Rolaids ad right next to it.
Do not become this. Eat at Uncle Matty's.
Eat more pizza.
I can see
that slogan's already taken, isn't it?
I don't know. I like it, though. This is our slogan is serve with love. You're going to see a lot of family in there. You're going to see a lot of hands-on from Todd. Big Todd Sackett will be running the kitchen and running the operation. And it's going to be a great place to come. Everybody's going to feel very welcome there. And different model, of course, than the Jimmy John's, but based on the same principles. Fresh, prepped every day, prepped by hand from 5 a.m. till it's finished. So we're proud of that. And
you know, on schedule to open February 20th.
Yes, give or take a day, but right now February 20th. And I'll get back on the radio and let you know, but that week we're going to have free pizza. On the day it opens, we'll have a big grand opening party, lots of giveaways, lots of stuff, maybe even a radio show out there if you guys will do it. That'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Yeah, good. I know. I'll have my people call your people. I know.
We'll do lunch. We'll see
I know that done. All decisions go through your wife. I'm not stupid.
Well said. Billy White, Jimmy John's, Uncle Matty's Pizza Joint coming in February. And, of course, if you're out at those Keeneland sales, don't forget to call the Palomar Jimmy John's location to order your lunches right now. You can do it all week long. They will bring them right to your barn. 859-523-6999, the number for the Palomar location. White Shoes, appreciate all the support, my friend. You've been a part of this family for more than a decade. And
yep.
It's been a great ride, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a great ride. I can't thank you enough for your support. I think it's just going to be better. The next 15, 20 years are going to be phenomenal. Glad to be in Lexington. It's a phenomenal place. Great city, great people, great university, great horse people. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
All right, Billy White. Jimmy
call Jeremy.
Jones.
He's ready. He's waiting for you.
He's waiting for your call.
Lines
right
are
now.
Open.
do not call White Shoes. I will mess it up. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, it is time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, let's start with this one. No surprise, but Ramsey's top breeders list for the third straight year. That's right, for the third consecutive year. Ken and Sarah Ramsey topped the individual breeders list in North America in 2015 with more than $9.3 million in earnings, according to statistics released January 8th by the Jockey Club Information Systems. The Ramseys bred the winners of 202 races from 1,667 starts. And fields line up for the LeCompte and the Silver Bullet Day. Louisiana's road to the Kentucky Derby kicks off January 16th with the $200,000 Twin Spires LeCompte Stakes, along with a sister race for the Kentucky Oaks hopefuls, the $150,000 Silver Bullet Day. And it's all at Fairgrounds Race Course and Slots, and it comes up January 16th. And that is your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to BloodHorse.com. You know, Jude, there's another headline on there that probably deserves some attention, and that's a story about Randy Romero being in a race for his life. And the Hall of Fame jockey joined us a couple of months back on our Jock Talk program, which you can catch every single Tuesday night here on the network from 6 to 7 Eastern, Sirius 220 XM 206. But Randy talked about his story, and he went all the way back to the beginning. He talked about getting into horse racing, how he first fell in love with it, and it was very easy for him. And then he talked about all of the things he went through during his career. And sometimes you forget about all the trials and all the struggles that Randy went through. And then he talked about his situation. And again, this is, oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago when he was on the program. So you go back, you listen to it, and you just go, wow, this guy, I mean, great guy, has fought his tail off like so many people do when they struggle with different diseases and ailments. But it's a great listen. I'd encourage people to go back and tune into that Jock Talk.
Yeah, he's an amazing person in that he's had tons of health issues, especially recently. And he still has the same attitude. He's still the same great guy that he was when he was healthier. And he doesn't let him get him down. He goes on, works hard every day to overcome whatever situation he's in, and he's really an admirable person.
Now, the Raging Cajun, no stranger to a fight, and he's fighting again. And go back, and you can read that story at bloodhorse.com, and go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast of that Jock Talk program. Again, Randy with us for the entire hour. We actually received an email. We received a ton of emails about that program, but one person, I believe it was in Maryland, had sent a note and asked us how he could get in touch with Randy because he thought he might be a match to donate a kidney to Randy, which is just one of the things that Randy needs if he's going to survive. But boy, what a touching moment there in HRN Nation when this gentleman contacted us.
Yeah, no, that was really, really cool. And, it's important to become an organ donor. Make sure you do that when you get your driver's license and sign up for that. You can possibly give someone else a shot that wouldn't ordinarily have it.
Well, don't forget, you can tune in to HRN all week long with our weekly talk shows from 6 to 7 Eastern on Sirius 220 and XM 206. It kicks off on Tuesdays. You'll hear exclusive in-depth conversations with racing's top jockeys on our Jock Talk show presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. On Wednesdays, the trainers take center stage on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. On Thursday, well, you're the star of the show with our Brisnet.com call-in show. And every Friday, we get you ready for the weekend's biggest races on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview. You can check out a schedule of all of our HRN programs and SiriusXM channel information by visiting our website at horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a break. We'll come back, and we're going to visit with trainer Alan Sherman as he talks about the return of Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner California Chrome. He's back in action this afternoon. We'll do it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Cara Conti, from the immediate family of champion sire King Mambo, winner of the Group 1 Grand Criterium at Tune, Cara Conti captured the sire-making French 2000 Guineas. A Breeders' Cup Mile winner in 1:32 and 4/5. Cara Conti posted the highest turf buyer of the year.
Cara Conti with a rush on the outside goes by them. Cara Conti at O'Donnell. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti standing at Gainesway.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Racing fans, come see the legendary California Chrome as he makes his five-year-old debut in today's Grade II San Pasquale Stakes at Santa Anita. Trained by Art Sherman and ridden by Victor Espinosa, California Chrome is one of the most popular California breds of all time, and he'll be center stage today at a mile and a 16th. First post time is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Come see California Chrome today at the Great Race Place.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of six of his first seven starts, including the Grade One Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Songbird remained perfect with a brilliant performance in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the leading contender for two-year-old Philly Championship honors. Her impressive win in the Juvenile Fillies and undefeated two-year-old season makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired 24 stakes winners in 2015, more than any other stallion in the U.S., including 12 graded stakes winners. Medaglia d'Oro has also produced 143 graded stakes winners lifetime. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Cork.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're coming to the top of the stretch, and California Chrome makes his move for the lead. It is California Chrome on the outside. Samrat runs at him with the gate pole. California Chrome is pulling away. California Chrome into the final furlong. He's got a five-length lead on his competition. It is California Chrome in front. And from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second. But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. Commanding Curve was second. And then came Danza in third. The final time, 2 minutes 3.66 seconds.
Well, who can forget that day? The first Saturday in May 2014, Larry Colmus with the call of the Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby, and California-bred California Chrome performed like a superstar that afternoon. He got the victory in Kentucky, then went on 2 weeks later, won the Preakness Stakes before coming up just a little bit short in the Belmont in that bid for the Triple Crown. It was a ride of a lifetime for his trainers Art Sherman and Alan Sherman, all of the ownership group surrounding California Chrome, and we are happy to welcome in Alan Sherman right now on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Alan, welcome to the program, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How you been?
Doing well, and happy to have you back on board. Happy New Year. And I have to imagine that this is a joyous occasion for you this afternoon to have your big horse back on the track.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, I couldn't ask this horse to be doing any better. So I'm really looking forward to this year.
What was it like to welcome him back into the barn?
Oh, it was great. You know, it's kind of like an old family member you haven't seen in a while. You know, it's just he's such an amazing horse, and he's brought us so much joy and fun that it was just great to have him back in the barn.
Well, by all accounts, his works have just been sparkling. Do you see a lot of development over the past several months?
Absolutely. You know, when he came back in from TaylorMade Farm, he couldn't have looked any better. They did an amazing job with him, and he hasn't taken one step back since he's been in. Everything's been forward, and after that last work, he pretty much indicated he was ready to roll.
Alan, let's go back and go back to his last start in the Dubai World Cup. That was on March 28th of last year. He's been off for nearly the full year now, and there was talk that after that race, maybe he would be retired. We weren't exactly sure what was going on. Take us through the timeline from March 28th up till today and everything that's happened with this story surrounding California Chrome.
Well, after he ran in the World Cup, he went to England, and that didn't work out so well. He bruised his foot, and he had a little tannin bone bruising. You know, once TaylorMade got their hands on him and they put all that weight on him and they got him looking, he couldn't have looked any better when he got here. And now they own, in partnership with Perry, 30% of the horse. And I couldn't be happier with just the way everything's gone.
When you got him in, was he breeze ready, or did you have to take a while to get him up to a work?
No, he wasn't in training at all in Kentucky. So once we got him, we, you know, starting all over again. And you know, ideally, we could have had another work or two in him, but didn't work out that way. But he's doing great, you know.
Trainers always say that. They always say they need another work. They might be a little short. Come on, who do you think you are, Bobby Frankel or something?
Absolutely not. But you know how it is, dude. You always want to get that one extra work in them, or
yeah. Put them over the top if you can.
I think he is. Yeah.
Alan Sherman, our special guest here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. Of course, California Chrome returning to action today in the Grade 2 San Pasquale. He will square off with seven other rivals. He has been made the 4-5 morning line favorite. Alan, what can you compare what you're seeing from him in these past several weeks as opposed to where he was before when you had him in the barn?
He's better now than he's ever been.
How come?
He's sounder now than he was as a 2-year-old. You know, he's a sound horse. He's never had any major issues, you know, just little aches and pains, but the horse is unbelievable right now. I couldn't be happier with him.
Well, he certainly looks fantastic. I mean, every photo that you see, every video, I mean, he just looks like he's really happy and delighted to be back in the Sherman barn, and he looks like he's training just awesome.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's really grown up. He's a lot bigger and stronger than he was as a 3-year-old. You know, that time off is probably a blessing.
How's your dad taking all of this? Is he chill?
I've never seen him not chill.
Well, that's good. He hasn't changed then.
No. Yeah, he's doing great.
Alan, I know you would love to see California Chrome win this race today, but what are some of the things you're going to be looking for when you watch him go to the post and then run this race today? What are the keys that you're going to be looking for?
I just want to get a good race out of him. You know, this isn't the main prize. You know, the Dubai World Cup is the main goal this year. This race is going to be more of a stepping stone. I mean, he doesn't have to win today. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but he doesn't have to.
So Dubai World Cup, will that be his next start after this one if all goes well today, or is there something in between?
No, there's a race we're going to run him in Dubai, kind of the same route Curling took.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that. We're going to run him twice over in Dubai.
Before heading to England?
No, we're not running past England this year.
I can't even believe he asked you that question. I'm going to beat him up after the show.
That's what friends are for.
Well, I noticed that he's going to debut some different silks for today's race as well.
Yeah, he's got silver and he's got a. They're gray with a burgundy, tailor-made burgundy outline, and it's got it says chrome in kind of like a chrome color.
Yeah, I saw those new blinkers too with the CC on them. You were holding them up in a photo on Twitter. Looked pretty sharp.
Yeah, they look nice. I like them.
You know, people forget
we
about
it. We don't have a jackass on the back of the Silks anymore, so that's kind of nice.
That's always a plus.
Now I can't believe he said that. I thought we would just avoid that altogether.
That's always a plus. Well, you know, people forget. They look back on this past year, and they see Victor Espinoza sweep the Triple Crown with American Pharoah. They forget he was just, what, a length and three quarters short of pulling it off the year before on California Chrome. Alan, what a great couple of years it's been for Victor Espinoza. It had to be fun for you to watch your jockey of California Chrome pull off the Triple Crown this year.
Yeah, you know, it was nice to see Victor get that done. You know, he's been close a couple times before, and it was nice to see him get it done. I think it was nice to have American Pharoah win the Triple Crown, you know, good for racing and everything. Obviously, I wish we could have done it last year, but didn't work out that way. But, you know, everything's going to turn out for the best, I think.
What do you say to him when you give him a leg up this afternoon? Do you give him a little Newt Rockne speech, or do you just say, go get him?
Don't screw it up.
As a former jockey, he's, he can say that. Alan Sherman, our special guest here, California Chrome, going in the San Pasquale later this afternoon. Of course, I mentioned a field of eight squaring off in that San Pasquale. It is race number eight at the Great Race Place. Mile and a 16th, the post time for that one, 7:03 Eastern. That's 4:03 local time on the West Coast. Alan, as always, you're great, man. We appreciate the time. Say hello to your father for us and let him know we'll be cheering for him later on this afternoon. But before I let you go, how is my man Jasper doing?
Jasper's a beast. Are you kidding? That dog is like Chrome. He's getting better with age.
Is he starting to behave a little bit better or what?
Yeah. For him, he's doing great. Yeah.
All right, buddy. We'll go get it done today, and we'll have you join us up the road here as we get closer to that Dubai World Cup as well. But as always, appreciate the time, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you and to Dad, and go get them later on today.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Alan Sherman, always fun here on the program.
Oh,
and Jasper, his dog, boy, he sent him away to puppy school when he went through the Triple Crown last year, or in 2014, and he got him back, and, well, the progress was marginal.
Maybe you picked the wrong school.
He should have kept him in training himself.
Yeah, and, probably.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be great to see California Chrome? When you look at that race today, you and I talked about this briefly the other night, but it seems like it's California Chrome's race to lose, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Opportunity's a nice horse, and certainly, you know, has the numbers and the ability to win the race. But the way that California Chrome has been training, If all reports are correct, and it sounds like from our interview with Alan that they are, he's going to be pretty tough to beat today, I think.
Yeah, well, it should be a good race. And, again, can't thank Alan enough for joining us here on the program this morning and talking to us about the big horse.
Did you hear him listening to us on the radio in the background? Did you hear Art cackling away back there?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I was going to tell him to turn his radio down, but I didn't have the heart to do it.
I know. They were having a good time, so that's cool.
Well, don't forget that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike, as the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip. The successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues. It's Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. We're going to step away for a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the big races around the country this afternoon, and we'll tell you about a tragedy in the Penna household this past week. Stay tuned. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Now horse players can get an early edge on Saturday's most anticipated races. Daily Racing Form introduces the Saturday Stakes Preview, a new weekly publication that previews past performances for all Saturday stakes from tracks around the country. For the first time, get past performances for all the races you're looking for in one convenient product. Each issue includes the past performances of horses entered in all major stakes for the coming Saturday, plus additional data, stories, and free access to DRF Plus, all for just $6. It's everything you need to jumpstart your handicapping a full day sooner. So look for the Saturday Stakes Preview Print Edition at all Daily Racing Form retailers each Thursday, or get it online at DRF.com on Wednesday evenings. Don't start your Saturday handicapping without the Saturday Stakes Preview. Try it this week. The Saturday Stakes Preview at retailers each Thursday. For more info, go to DRF.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Coming to the top of the lane now, and Manhattan Dan is taken on by Collected. Collected goes right on by. On the outside, Frank Conversation, hot or dressed in Hermes. Coming for home, it just wasn't Manhattan Dan today. Folded quickly, and it is Collected who's gone on. Collected the leader, dressed in Hermes. Hot or down at the rail, Frank Conversation coming with a late run. Dressed in Hermes. Dressed in Hermes strikes the front at the right time, and Dressed in Hermes and Mike Smith have won it. Collected was second. Close then for third, Frank Conversation, Rare Candy.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, getting ready to take you through this final segment on the program this morning. I want to thank all of our guests for being here, including Michael Hernan in the first half of the program from Gainesway, Billy White from Jimmy John's, and the soon-to-open Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint was with us right around 9 o'clock Eastern, and in the previous segment, Alan Sherman talking about California Chrome. If you missed any portion of this program, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available for you shortly after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern time this morning. JT, next Saturday, you and I are going to make the trip back down to South Florida, one of our favorite venues, Gulfstream Park. We'll have exclusive coverage of the Sunshine Millions, all that coverage presented by Adina Springs. It begins at 3 o'clock Eastern time, and that also means that this program will be hosted live from Gulfstream on Saturday morning as well. We'll have plenty to talk about in addition to the Sunshine Millions, the Eclipse Awards taking place that night as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week in Florida. I know you're heading down early. You've got owners conference down there, and really exciting card next Saturday. The Sunshine Millions card is always very competitive and good wagering, but there's excellent races all over the country, and of course we'll have a Pope Jude sheet for the Saturday races, and looking forward to being in Florida and visiting with everybody, getting a little skinny maybe on some Kentucky Derby horses while we're down there. Mohamed's training there, so that's good. Might be able to catch a breeze or something with him.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a really great week.
We're going to spend a few minutes walking through some of the big races around the country. Of course, you can go to Jude's website, popejude.com, to download a full sheet from Jude each and every week. Again, that's popejude.com. But before we get to that, JT, I have to tell you that there was a celebration at my house last Sunday. As people that listen to this program probably know, I have created a full Steeler fish tank in my house, right? And it is a replica of Heinz Field with the green gravel, and I've got the white yardage markers and the Steeler goalposts, the whole nine yards. And I have the picture of Heinz Field, which wraps around it. So it's like the fish are in Heinz Field.
As hard as it is to believe this, it's absolutely true.
It is true. And I have 11 black and gold African cichlids in there, right? Which 11 to replicate a full Steeler defense. Okay. Now, after the Steelers beat the Browns, got into the playoffs last week, the celebration immediately started. The fish played so well. They were so happy, right, that they started to celebrate. The next day, that celebration turned tragic when my wife happened to look, for some reason, behind the fish tank. And there on the floor behind the fish tank was one of the members of my Steeler fish team.
Mm. D'Angelo Williams?
Rigor mortis had set in. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. So it was a tragic ordeal at our house. I've not had time to reintroduce another member to the team. So we're playing a man down this week.
Too few men on the field?
We're going with 10 this week to see how that goes. But it was at this point, an apparent suicide. We're trying to rule out foul play, but the investigation is still ongoing at the Barron's household.
Wow. That is tragic.
Horrible.
Yeah. That fish tank is something else. It really is. You said you were going to do it, and you did it. It's amazing.
You want to talk some horse racing now? Can you get back in the frame of mind?
If we must.
Well, I'm going to let you start wherever you would like. We'll take a look at some of the top races around the country today and maybe even touch on that San Pascual out in California. But you start wherever you would like.
We can start with the San Pascual. I mean, we've already kind of talked about the San Pascual, but, you know, this is a grade two going a mile in the 16th, and it's, a nice race. But it's not a really tough race. It's not even a really tough grade two. The main contender, obviously, California Chrome. I mean, you know, you look at his form, it's very, very good. The 110 six furlong workout on January 2nd kind of, you know, hits you in the face. That looks pretty nifty right there. He's carrying 119 pounds. So he's actually getting 2 pounds from Hopportunity, who's his main foe in this race. Now, Hopportunity, he's had a string of 3 seconds in a row. He got beat by FNX, Race Day, and Smooth Roller, who are all very nice horses. And he's run in two grade ones and a grade two in that stretch. So, you know, he's a very talented horse, and he's, you know, been beaten 3 times in a row, but, you know, by narrow margins and maybe unfortunately. But to give California Chrome 2 pounds, I think, arguably, if you ask anybody in the world who they would rather have, California Chrome or Hopportunity, 99% of the people would say California Chrome.
Yeah, no brainer.
So that's pretty much the race. Now, I did read last night, somebody on Twitter was predicting that Point Piper is going to win the race. So he's coming off 2 second-place finishes, one in the Big Bear Stakes, which is a listed stakes at Santa Anita, and then the Zia Championship Handicap at Zia Park. But it's a Hollendorfer, hasn't raced since November 25th. So he better have his running shoes on. He's coming off of a little rest.
Yeah, nice horse, but not quite on par with the top ones in here. At least on paper, anyways.
Yeah, on paper.
It doesn't appear to be. What about the – I know I was going to let you take it wherever you want, but what about the Sham Stakes earlier in the program? Because we actually had the clip of Dresden Hermes winning the Cecil B. DeMille Mile last time out. He's back in action in that spot this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, he won that race of Grade 3 at Del Mar on the turf. And the interesting thing about the Sham Stakes is the fact that there's so many horses that are going from turf to dirt. It's intriguing collected on the outside for Bob Baffert, who I think is the morning line favorite, if I'm not mistaken, has run twice on the grass, a 6.5 furlong down the hill, made an allowance race, which he won by a nose, and then stretched out to a mile in the Cecil B. DeMille, against Dresden Hermes. And he ran second. So, you know, how's he going to handle the dirt? I mean, he works good on the dirt. He's got back-to-back 112 and change 3/4 and 7/8 and 25/3. I mean, he's obviously, you know, got ability. And he's by City Zip out of a Johannesburg mare. So I guess he'd be okay on the dirt.
Yep.
But he's certainly great on the turf. I don't know. It's a very interesting field. I think Found Money might actually be the class of the race. This horse, you know, the only two races where he got beataways were against Nyquist and Exaggerator. And obviously those are open company. He does his best running in Calbred races. He's by Square Eddie out of a General Meeting mare, and he's bred by Redham Racing in California. So his best races have been in Calbred races. But, you know, he's a horse that's got some seasoning. He's run 7 times. He's won 3. He's been in the money, you know, first or second, 5 out of 7. You know, pretty solid horse. And his last race was his best race, arguably. You know, he ran really, really well in the King Glorious. So I think, you know, he's certainly a horse that's worth a look. The other horse that I thought maybe had a chance to upset is the 3, Let's Meet in Rio. And Let's Meet in Rio is a Judmont Farms horse, a homebred for Judmont Farms by Flatter. And this horse had 2 sprints, kind of nondescript, and then stretched out last time at Los Alamitos and won, broke his maiden under Kent DeSormo. DeSormo's back aboard for Bob Baffert, and he's been training well. He had a nice 113 3/4 since his maiden breaker. He also had a best of the morning 46-3 before that. I think you always have to look at Judmont horses. They're well bred. They don't keep horses that aren't going to be good. This one's out of a Stormcat mare, Rio Carnival.
Yeah, son of Claiborne Stallion Flatter, too.
Yeah, so there's some things to like about him, and he looks like he's improving. And like I said, this is not a really tough race. I mean, sometimes the Sham is so good. Sometimes there's like 5 or 6 horses from everybody's Kentucky Derby list in the Sham. This year, not so much.
Well, and you mentioned these Bob Baffert horses, right?
Right.
Nobody has won the Sham, shocking news, more than Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. He's done it on 3 different occasions, and his last coming just 2 years ago in 2014 with Midnight Hawk. But JT, look at, you mentioned the quality of the Sham Stakes, and sometimes it's great, sometimes it's mediocre, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you look at some of the horses that have come through this race and won this race. Go back 3 years ago. Golden Sense, we know he turned out pretty good, right? Go back to 2011, Tapazar, all right? Then you come back to 2008 and Colonel John. He was pretty good. He's gone on to a pretty good stud career as well. 2006 was Bob and John. So there have been some pretty good names that have come through this particular race and gone on to do some really good things.
Yeah, well, and this could be. I mean, you know, it's one of those races where there are some question marks, though, because so many horses are changing surfaces. Rare Candy, Dresden Hermes, and Collected are all horses that have run their best races on the grass and are now trying dirt for either the first or second time. So, you know, we don't know what to make out of those horses. We don't know if they're going to like dirt kicked in their face or if they're going to handle the surface. So it's a really question marky kind of a race. I mean, it's not the kind of race where you'd want to bet the ranch, I think. That's for sure.
Well, the Sham Goes is race number 6 this afternoon at Santa Anita. 1 mile on the main track, 6:03 Eastern, 3:03 locally is the post time for that Grade 3 Sham, and a great way to kick off the road to the Kentucky Derby out in California. We'll take a look at another race in just a moment, but do want to remind you to join HRN every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon. That's right. It's not just about Saturday mornings anymore. You can join us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons from 3 to 6 Eastern Time for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. We feature live race coverage from racetracks across the country, as well as interviews and features with the biggest names in racing. Hop aboard the A-Train with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, on Express Bet Radio every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons from 3 to 6 Eastern, Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. What's next?
Well, let's go to New York.
Okay.
The Interborough Stakes today in New York. And Laverdot is in there. Laverdot, obviously, a very talented filly, a filly that was on a lot of people's Eclipse Award nomination ballots. She's got a lot of talent. She won 5 out of 8 races last year, 722,000. She's going to be the heavy favorite. Her last race was in the fall high weight. Against the boys, Green Gatto won that race, a horse that's a New Jersey bred that I've been following for a long time. And he's a talented horse. She ran kind of so-so. It was Thanksgiving weekend, not her best effort. And she's going to be heavily, heavily bet. I like the 4, Room for Me, who is an unbelievable story, really. She was a $1,200 Keeneland November weanling, okay? $1,200 and she has now made in her career $423,400.
Wow.
She's won 9 races in 21 starts, and she won her last race very easily, the Garland of Roses Stakes at Aqueduct. She got a 98 Brisnet speed figure. I mean, talk about a cool story, right? $1,200 weanling, and all she does is win. She was kind of like in a little mini slump for her, and then she came up with that big race in the Garland of Roses. I think she's sitting on another good one. She had a real easy breeze between starts, and I think she's going to probably be 3-1, maybe even 7-2. I think Laverdot's going to get bet off the board, and I think it might be a spot to cash a ticket.
Well, she seems to get better with age as well. She's a 6-year-old mare, and when you look at her in 2015, she raced 11 times, 6 wins last year, a second and a third. So she's on the board in 8 of 11 with those 6 wins. And as you mentioned, $1,200. The purchase price is a yearling.
That's crazy. So,
well, that's one of the great stories. That's one of the great things about this game, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to spend $2 million on a horse to get yourself a really nice runner in the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, I love those horses. And, you know, because I worked for Keeneland for 10 years and I go to the sales all the time. And I love it when you see a horse like that in the form. There was a filly a few years ago that somebody paid $1,000 for, and she'd already banked like 200 and change, and I think she won like a Grade 3, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to go buy the fancy dancy horses with the great pedigrees and stuff if you have enough money to do it, but when you find one like that really, you know, outdoes itself, so to speak, it's really a good story.
Yeah, we say it all the time. You can't go for the average person, well, for 99% of us, you can't go and buy into the New York Yankees, right?
Right.
And expect to win the World Series. It's just not an option, right? But with horse racing, you have that opportunity. You can buy a horse for a very modest amount of money, and you can win what we would consider the World Series or the Super Bowl of horse racing, the Kentucky Derby.
Well, California Chrome's a prime example of that,
yep.
Right? His mother was a cheap claiming filly, and they bred her to a stallion that's not a household name, Lucky Pulpit, and they get California Chrome. So it happens in all facets of the industry, and you can't just go out and buy a Derby winner, because if you could, Sheikh Mohammed would have won every Derby in the last 20 years.
Well, don't forget, we're back next week. Oh, what is this? Oh, how about that? A little home field advantage in my studio today.
Yeah, I guess
so. Don't forget, you're in my house, JT.
That's the way it goes. I know where I stand.
Well, the Steelers will be playing the road game tonight. JT and I will have a little fun with that. We've had a great amount of fun on this program today. Our thanks to Michael Hernan from Gainesway, Billy White from Jimmy John's, and, of course, our thanks to Alan Sherman for joining us a short time ago. Yeah, no more talking. This is beautiful.
The polka music.
Our thanks to Lee Delapina, our producer, doing a great job here in studio. For the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. And because nothing good comes of deviation, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados. Hooday.
We day.